The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 22, and it can be found on at page 1156 of the Church Bibles. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appears to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. The resurrection of the dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Here ends the lesson.
Alexandra, thank you so much. You need to preserve your voice for the worship now. Kids, there's kids' groups tonight. So, I mean, you could stay and listen to me, but you're going to have so much more fun if you go to your Easter party with Jade. And if that isn't a real encouragement for you to go to your groups, I don't know what is. And there is Jade, who has sadly lost her voice, but still in party mode at the back of church. Heavenly Father, may I speak in your name by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, that reading is really important to me personally. Now, I don't know why you've come here tonight. I guess lots of you, I can see lots of faces I know, you're here because you've already put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I'm hoping there's some people here who may have been dragged here. What? Go to church? It's the most glorious evening. Why would I want to go to church? There may be even an atheist or two or a handful of agnostics here. Yes, please, Lord, because you've now got me. You've got to listen to me for the next few minutes. But the question is, what is the big deal about Easter? Why are we celebrating? What is this great song, Oh Happy Day, the greatest day in history? What's it all about? What's the big deal about the empty tomb? Can you really believe in it? Well, as Paul writes in the reading we've just had read to us, if there was no resurrection, there is no Christian faith. If I was wearing a dog collar, and I do wear a dog collar, I do wear a dog collar in the morning, the morning service, it would be, I'd take it off, rip it in two, we'd pack up and turn this building into a museum. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fundamental to the Christian faith. And I'm going to tell you why this isn't just an academic question. Let me tell you a story from my own life. Quite a few years ago, I lost my wife and son in a car crash. And I remember going to identify their bodies at the mortuary in Salisbury Hospital. And I was just in a complete state of shock. And my wife was on one of those big, long dollies. And my little two-year-old son was on what looked like one of those old tea trolleys, you know, used to see in old-fashioned offices being wheeled around. And I looked at their remains, and then I looked up on the wall, and there was a cross on the wall of the mortuary. And it was, you know, it was a Christian cross. And they've probably all taken them down now because it's politically incorrect and not inclusive of all world religions. But praise God for me, there was a cross on that wall, and I looked at it, and all that boring Christianity that I'd been subjected to as a child, being dragged off to chapel, dragged off to church for boring sermons, and there's this dusty old book called the Bible that's like thousands of years old and got no relevance for me whatsoever. But that drip, 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 drip of Christianity, suddenly the penny dropped in my heart, and that sign on that wall became a sign of hope. And I set off on an exploration of the Christian faith, because I wanted to know what had happened to my wife and my son. Because what happens to us when we die is a really important question. And believe me, as you get older, it becomes more and more relevant. So Jaden, probably never even crossed your mind. Jason, you may have been thinking about it once or twice. And sadly, if we're grown up, we've probably all known people who we've loved and have lost. And the question is, what happens to us when we die? And the answer is in the Bible. The answer is in the empty tomb, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So that may leave you who are here with lots of questions. And this is something that is really hard to get your head around. How on earth do you breathe new life into a dead, mangled, twisted, flogged, and crucified with a spear in the side body? How is that possible after 3 days in a cold tomb? And yet, Paul writes in our reading that Jesus was seen by 500 people. He was seen walking and talking. He even had a barbecue on the beach with his disciples. And it was weird, because we're told that he could eat. So it's not some kind of ghost where you'd see the food going down on the inside. But equally, we're told he could appear behind locked doors. Jesus had a resurrection body. And what this means for Christians is that what Jesus did, we can claim, because it's a promise in the Bible. So Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Those who fall asleep in Christ can also be resurrected from the dead, which is why, as a Christian, I believe heaven is going to be a place of wonderful reunions. But it is so difficult to believe, isn't it? It's so difficult to believe. There's some lovely young people here. You know, we're doing science. I did sciences at school, a little bit of biology. You kind of know what death is. You know what decomposition is. You've driven down a road, haven't you, in the summer with your windows down. You get hit by this smell, and you've just passed a dead badger or a dead fox on the road. You know what happens when we die. it's not pleasant. Everything decomposes. So how on earth are we supposed to believe that Jesus came back from the dead? Well, the point is, Christians believe in a God who is sovereign over everything. So in exactly the same way that when a clock or a watch, something, I don't know if you, has anyone here ever taken the back off an old-fashioned analog watch? Yeah, you know, there's, you know, if you're not careful, there's kind of like springs come out everywhere and cogs and all the rest of it. I have a digital watch, so I can't show you. But as impossible as it may seem that you could put that watch back together, the watchmaker can. And just as God has put us together in our mother's wombs, he can also reconstitute us after death. And so if you're wondering if this can be true, how can we believe in all of this? Let me just briefly describe to you the circumstances surrounding his resurrection. So Jesus had been teaching that on the third day he was going to rise again from the dead. He was telling them, the temple is, you know, if the temple was destroyed, I can rebuild it in 3 days. The temple was a metaphor for his own body. Now, admittedly, they didn't all kind of understand what he was talking about. But we now, with the benefit of all the scriptures, we can see he was talking about that he would be resurrected. It's prophesied in the Old Testament as well. Now, the people who had condemned him to death were not stupid. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the ecclesiastical lawyers. They probably had enough more PhDs between them than I've had hot dinners. And they knew that the one thing they did not want to happen after he was executed was for the body to go AWOL. Because then, obviously, all his followers would say, ha ha, he told you, didn't he? He was going to be resurrected from the dead after 3 days. Bravo, there's no body left, so therefore he must have been resurrected, so the Christian faith is true. So, what did they do? Is they arranged for a guard of Roman soldiers to be posted outside the tomb. They even put a seal on the tomb. And of course, the rock that guarded the entrance to the tomb was not just like opening a door. It would have taken several men to move in and out of position. And the eyewitness accounts tell us that an angel appears, the guards skedaddle, and the tomb, it bursts open, and Christ rises from the dead. You may wonder what happened to the soldiers. Good question. It's in the Bible. It's in the eyewitness accounts. The soldiers were bribed not to say anything. And so Jesus then appears. Interestingly, he appears to women first of all. It's an interesting twist to the story because back then, women had no say in anything. You know, a woman's individual testimony in a court of law counted for nothing. So if you were making this story up, why on earth would you write that it was the women who witnessed Jesus' resurrection first? That's another lovely bit of truth that makes this story so true. So the women see him risen from the dead. And I want you to imagine what you would be doing if you were one of his disciples. His disciples have been following them for 3 years. Okay, Jesus was their mentor. He was their everything. They were following him. They didn't quite get who he was or what he was here to do. But they trusted him and they followed him. And some of them were even expecting him to get rid of the Roman boots, boot the Roman soldiers out, and to be a king like David had been king. So I want you to imagine, if you'd been thinking that, and then you'd seen your beloved leader flogged, humiliated, and executed like a common criminal, I suggest to you, you would be just a trifle demoralized. And worse than that, you would be afraid, because guess what? Who would be next on the arrest list of the equivalent of the Gestapo? Yeah, his followers. Do you remember what happened? Peter denied Christ 3 times before the cock crowed because he was scared of being arrested and also executed as well. So, what was happening to those disciples? What was happening to them? Well, where would you have been? You would have been in hiding, wouldn't you? You would have been hiding behind locked doors. And that's exactly what Scripture tells us was happening. I now want to ask you, what is the one thing that could have transformed your life from being afraid, living in fear behind locked doors, to fast forward a few weeks, a couple of months, to being a fearless evangelist who couldn't stop everyone they met, telling everyone they met about Jesus Christ? What is the one thing that could have caused that 180 degrees change in your life? It couldn't have been that someone you met told you that they'd met someone who'd seen Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You're not going to go to your martyrdom. You're not going to be sawn in two upside down because of some hearsay. You're not even going to be sawn upside down, for example, or executed or flogged to death. Perhaps even because your wife told you or your husband told you that they'd seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that could have given you that spiritual strength for that transformation is if you had seen Jesus resurrected yourself with your own eyes. I rest my case. I don't understand how anyone cannot believe this. This is my own story when I came to faith. After that dreadful accident, I was confronted with this evidence because I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. It was just too unbelievable for me. But then I looked at the evidence in Scripture. I read the eyewitness accounts. I saw the behavior of those disciples. And I knew there was nothing else that could have changed their minds so dramatically than having seen Jesus Christ themselves. Most of them were martyred in the most dreadful ways. You'd never do that for a lie. I mean, can you imagine getting together the disciples saying, guys, listen, this isn't looking good. You know, we thought he was going to be the Messiah, he was going to be the king, but listen, slightly awkward this, but he's dead. Yeah, anyone got any bright ideas? Yeah, I know. Let's pretend we've seen him. Okay, yeah, let's pretend we've seen him. And then the first sign of persecution, they would have crumbled. I don't know, those of you with gray hair will remember the Watergate scandal, yeah? Richard Nixon. I was just young enough to remember this. But I do have come across Chuck Colson, who was he went to prison for his role in this, and he became a Christian. He ran a very effective prison outreach ministry in the USA. He wrote this: I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured it if it weren't the truth. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years absolutely impossible. Amen? Amen. It is impossible. And as our reading said, Paul was writing a letter at a time when eyewitnesses were still alive. Just let that sink in for a moment. So let's think of an analogy. If you were writing about a contemporary event, let's say, I was going to say Brexit, but I know everyone's going to get triggered. COVID, no. The war in Ukraine. Can you imagine? It's like if Putin he wouldn't be alive. Let's say he was a bit younger. Let's say if Putin was alive in 40 years' time, writing letters to people and saying that the war never took place. No one would have believed him because there are many, many eyewitnesses who are still around who know that the war took place. So all the evidence stacks up, doesn't it? Are you with me here? All the evidence stacks up. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 that you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the truth. Christ has died for you and me, and he's risen from the grave to show us the way to eternal life. That's the gift of the Christian faith. It's a free gift. I'd love to talk to anybody who's interested in exploring it. We're doing an Alpha course shortly. There's some flyers at the back of church, and we've got a handful of these little booklets, The End of the Road. We've got 9 to give away, your little free gift, if you're interested, that helps explain this a little bit more. And we're going to be baptizing. Has the Holy Spirit been speaking to anyone here tonight? And you've been putting this off, you've been interested. You're not here by a coincidence. Even if you were dragged here, you are not here by coincidence. God has called you here tonight to listen to this message and to respond to it. I have bought some spare clothing. It's unisex, gender neutral, whatever the expression is. It's very baggy. It'll fit anybody here. It's not too late to go through the waters of baptism, because in the waters of baptism, this is a symbol of us dying to our sin, dying to our old selves, as we go under the water and then rising up out of the water in a new creation, a new life, washed clean, all our sins washed away. Does that sound good? Let's do it. We're going to have a song before we do it. So why don't the band come up, and I'm going to pray. Easter is hope for the hopeless. It's forgiveness for the guilty. It's healing for the broken. It is life for the dying. And the resurrection of Jesus began a chain reaction that will one day mean the end of despair, evil, pain, and suffering. Amen. Why don't we stand?